I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order on February 11th, 2019. We have a joint meeting today with the HES Committee. I'd like to go ahead and start off by introducing the Finance Committee, and then I'll have Senator Wilson go ahead and introduce his committee members. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Machicki, Senator Stedman, and we're missing a couple, I guess. And Senator Wilson, do you want to introduce your gang?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. We have Senator Coghill, Senator Giesel, Senator Stevens, Senator Begich is expected, and myself, Senator Wilson.
And we have one item on the agenda today, but before we get rolling, our projector has taken a vacation, so we will not have the slides behind us today, so we're going to have to do the old-fashioned way. This documents that we're or the documents we'll be looking at today are online. People can open them up and follow them along if they have access to that stuff. And we also are going to have to cut our meeting short. Instead of the scheduled 2 hours, it'll be an hour and a half. There's roughly mid-40s range of pages and slides, so you've got a couple minutes per slide. So we're going to try to keep on track. Today's hearing is going to be an update on the Alaska Healthcare Transformation Project. We have presentations here from Sandra Heffron, Executive Director of the Effective Health Design, Scott Lutz from the University of Chicago. He can correct the pronunciation of his name here in a few minutes. And Lynn Snyder, I suppose, should be online. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over for some comments from Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. Yes, so healthcare has been a hot topic of discussion in Alaska for several years. There's been several committees trying to look at why is the per capita cost so high in Alaska. The most recent one is the Healthcare Transformation Project, which I sit on along with Sandra Heffron here, as well as Elizabeth Ripley from the Matsu Foundation, among others. We've been meeting for the last couple years trying to talk about ways that we can learn more about the healthcare in Alaska and ways to mitigate some of the high costs. This particular transformation project has a triple aim. We want to improve population health while also improving the patient experience while lowering the per capita cost of care. And what we hope to do is to coordinate patient care, improve primary care utilization rather than using the ER for your primary care, change the way healthcare is paid for in Alaska to provide a little bit more transparency, and then increase data analytics. What do we know? What programs are working? How do we know? What are people seeking health care treatment for? Things of that nature. So with this committee, we raised $1 million last year from the state as well as private foundations, and hired NORC with the University of Chicago to help us with this project. And that is the impetus of here today. We're to get a check-in with healthcare transformation and NORC to see how things are going. So thank you.
And with that, for those watching at home, Senator Von Imhoff is the subcommittee chairman for the budget concerning these driving issues, so it all kind of is collating. There was a meeting on that budget, which has some of the biggest cost drivers we're faced and some of the hardest budgetary challenges that this committee faces trying to get our budget in line. So this is a part of a process that will really start with some substantial ignition on Wednesday when the governor drops his budget. So this is some good background information. With that, I'd like to go ahead and have Ms. Heffron and Lutz, is that correct? Lutz, come forward. I don't think there's any reason to drop the screen. We're not gonna have a projector.
Or to point it up.
So, well, that's good.
Thank you.
You can go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, who you represent. Go ahead and start your presentation. I'll kind of help you with the clock, and we'll try to finish this up by 10:30.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, good morning. For the record, my name is Sandra Heffern, and I'm the the owner and executive director of Effective Health Design based in Anchorage. So thank you, Chair Stedman, Co-Chair Von Imhoff, Hess Chair Wilson, members of the Senate Finance Committee, and members of the Hess Committee for allowing us to present this morning on the Alaska Healthcare Transformation Project. So today, my colleagues and I will provide a brief history of the project, the current efforts, and then look at some future direction for what we have planned for the project. We'll quickly touch on the salient points and offer a more in-depth discussion offline if there's interest. Understanding that the topic that we're covering is, in a single word, very complicated. I guess that's two words. So the next slide.
And if you could help the public and the committee, as you move along, reference your slide number.
Absolutely. So slide number two. Before I get into a detailed description of the project, I wanted to revisit a few of the past efforts that we've done in looking at trying to transform the healthcare system in Alaska. So going back to 2007, under the Palin administration, the Health Strategies Planning Council was convened. So this council, in their final report that was issued in December of 2007, had a list of goals. Goal one was health costs for all Alaskans will consistently be below the national average. Second goal, Alaska will have a sustainable health care workforce. Goal three, all Alaskan communities will have clean and safe water and wastewater systems. Goal four, quality health care will be accessible to all Alaskans to meet their health care needs. Personal responsibility and prevention in health care will be top priorities for government, the private sector, tribal entities, communities, families, and individuals. Goal six, develop and foster the statewide leadership necessary to develop and support a comprehensive statewide health and health care policy. And the final goal was to increase the number of Alaskans covered by health insurance. The work of the Health Strategies Planning Council then led to the Health Care Commission. The Health Care Commission was established by the legislature in 2010 to advise the state on policies for improving health and health care for all Alaskans. The commission was charged with serving as the state health planning and coordinating body and then carrying out the goals previously established by the Health Strategies Planning Council. The commission studied issues related to health care in Alaska and reported recommendations and activities to the legislature. The commission was defunded in 2015 and is no longer active. In the fall of 2010, Governor Parnell convened the Medicaid Task Force to address the growth in Alaska's Medicaid program and budget. The task force consisted of legislators and state administration. 2010 also saw the passing of the Patient Protection and it's the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. I can't even remember what PPACA stands for at this point. The next several years were really spent addressing the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, looking at the health market, the health insurance marketplace, addressing whether or not the state was going to expand Medicaid, looking at individual and employer mandates, just to name a few of the very large items within the Affordable Care Act. In 2014, Governor Parnell also convened the Medicaid Reform Advisory Group. And this group was designed to develop a proposal for reforming the state's Medicaid program to look at stability and predictability in budgeting, increasing the ease and efficiency of navigating the system by providers, and providing whole care for the patient by uniting physical and behavioral health treatment. In 2016, under Governor Walker's tenure, Senate Bill 74, the Omnibus Medicaid Reform Bill was signed into law. Many of you at this table were very instrumental in getting that bill passed. Many of the components of Senate Bill 74, including telemedicine, pharmaceutical control with the prescription drug monitoring program, moving towards a coordinated care model, and behavioral health reform, are initiatives that have either been implemented or are currently in process. As you can see, there have been numerous efforts over the last, and I only went back 12 years. What I want to point out, though, that during the same time, the Anchorage Economic and Development Corporation, every year for the past decade, has done a business confidence inventory. And for since 2010, the second issue that is the largest hindrance to economic growth and business development is the cost of health insurance. And we know that the cost of health insurance goes hand in hand with the cost of health care. So, what are we doing about this? During the 2017 legislative session, several of us were hearing discussions by senators, representatives, and the administration that something needed to be done about driving down healthcare costs, about increasing quality and increasing access. I have to read my notes, sorry. Okay, apologies. We're on slide number three. So rather than all of these conversations happening in their separate areas, there was a suggestion that we bring these groups together, bring the Senate, the House, and the administration, along with some provider organizations, to see if we could collectively tackle the issue of healthcare in Alaska. And from this initial conversation, the Alaska Healthcare Transformation Project was developed. So in a nutshell, the project is a cross-sectional collaboration of payers, providers, policymakers, and patient advocates working together to transform Alaska's healthcare system. So slide four, looking at the structure of our of the project, we have a project management committee that includes Senator Von Imhoff, Representative Sponholz, Elizabeth Ripley from the Matsu Health Foundation, Kalani Parnell from the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, Becky Hultberg from the State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, Nancy Merriman from the Alaska Primary Care Association, and most recently, Mike Barnhill, the OMB Policy Director, representing the administration, taking the seat that Pat Pitney had previously held. Typically at this point in a presentation about the project, I get a question of how is this project going to be different than all of those others that I already described previously? And I have a few reasons that I would like to share with the committees. Previous efforts have focused primarily on Medicaid. Medicaid is a big part of our healthcare system. You know, 27-28% of our population gets their healthcare services through Medicaid. But then you think about, what about the other 70%? What are we doing about that group? With the relatively small Alaska population, the cost shifting that can occur when efforts are focused on a single area is significant. Thus, the feeling by employers that health insurance costs are a hindrance to economic growth. Previous efforts, well-intentioned people, but I'm not convinced that all of the stakeholders that are impacted by health reform were at the table. I've been providing health and human services in Alaska for 35 years. And when I walk into a room when we're discussing healthcare, typically I know everybody in the room, or at least 95% of them. When we first started this project, we had people that walked into the room, I had no idea who they were, but they were another part of the healthcare industry. And so we're getting a lot of different perspectives. Not always easy because we don't always agree, but that's good. It's good to get those different perspectives. As Senator Von Imhoff pointed out, this is a public-private partnership. Previous efforts have primarily been driven by government. Government is a part of this. They're part of that partnership, but this is not being driven by government. So those are some of the differences that I think will take this project forward that have not been successful in the past. So on slide five, We've divided the project into phases, and during the first phase, we pulled together the convening group with those payers, providers, policymakers, and patient advocates, the four Ps as I've dubbed them. And we had people come together and really talk about what is it that we want within our healthcare system. The project management committee took the notes from that meeting and from subsequent meetings and devised a vision, which, you know, it's like we could wordsmith this for days on end. But basically, as Senator Von Imhoff pointed out, we're really looking at the quadruple aim of healthcare. We're looking at the patient experience, also the provider's experience of care, looking at the cost of care, and looking at access to care. We also developed guiding principles that we wanted to take into the future, focusing on improving individual and population health, health coverage with common basic benefits for all. This typically gets a few raised eyebrows. This does not imply that what we're intending is that government will be the one paying for health coverage with common basic benefits for all. This is the responsibility of government, of individuals, of businesses, insurers, et cetera, everyone playing a role. Focusing on whole person integrated systems of care, looking at evidence-based practices, and then seeking recognition and ways to incorporate social determinants of health in patients' care plans. Slide 7. We have specific goals. At one of our first meetings, one of our teams came up with a tagline, if you would, of healthy Alaskans, healthy economy, everybody's business. We wanted to have goals that were specific to those three areas. So the first one under healthy Alaskans, the percentage of Alaskan residents with a usual source of primary care will increase by 15% within 5 years. The Commonwealth Scorecard is a national survey that's done, and Alaska currently is identified as 68% of Alaskan residents identify that they have a usual source of primary care. The best state is 89%. So we have some room for improvement there. Under healthy economy, reducing the overall per capita health care growth rate to the greater of 2.25% or consumer price index within 5 years. The Institute for Social and Economic Research did a recent report. It was released in September of 2018, stating that Alaska's overall healthcare spending growth rate from 1991 to 2014 was 7.8% compared to the U.S. overall rate of 6%. And then also reminding the committee that Alaska typically has about, our healthcare costs are about 38% higher than the rest of the contiguous United States. The final one, everybody's business, align all payers, public and private, towards value-based alternative payment models with streamlined administrative requirements within 5 years. Paying for value versus paying for volume of care has grown significantly since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, and can take multiple forms. It can be accountable care organizations, global payments, bundled payments for care improvement. And we didn't want to tie ourselves to a single model, recognizing that Alaska is unique in its geography and its regions. So this goal does not tie us to a specific models. Providers, practitioners, specifically asked us to pay attention to streamlining administrative requirements, recognizing that the added cost of administration does not necessarily equate to better outcomes or better patient care. We then moved into the second phase of our project. We had strategy development teams specific to looking at primary care utilization, payment reform, data analytics, coordinated care, and also social determinants of health. We had approximately 100 people who met over the course of 4 months for 3 hours a month, looking at what are the questions that they still wanted more information on before they were able to make recommendations. And from those five groups, we were able to synthesize their questions basically into four themes. We wanted to recognize that there has already been a lot of work that's been done in Alaska over the last 10 years, whether it's looking at reports and studies that have been done or looking at pilots, demonstrations, we dubbed those experiments, that people around the state have been trying in trying to reform our healthcare system. We also wanted to look at what's happening on a national level. Other states are a bit further down the reform road or journey than Alaska is, and so we wanted to be able to learn from them. So really doing that national environmental scan, and then also, or finally, looking at what are we truly spending on healthcare in Alaska and what are the cost drivers. At the same time that the strategy development teams were completing their work, as Senator Von Imhoff stated, we also were collecting funds to be able to support the, sorry, I'm just skipping to slide number 10. We were also looking at funds to be able to support the research that we wanted to do. Thank you to the committee and to those members who were present last year. We were successful in securing $250,000 in the governor's operating budget under the Department of Administration, $250,000 in a capital budget appropriation. We have $120,000 from Matsu Health Foundation, $250,000 from the Rasmussen Foundation, $100,000 from the Alaska Mental Health Trust, and then we have an additional $30,000 that has been identified, but I'm not at liberty to say who it is at this point. So with that close to $1 million, and we selected $1 million because we looked at other states with comparable populations who had gone through this type of health reform type activity, and they pulled together $1 million through state innovation model dollars that were available through the Affordable Care Act, and they expended approximately $1 million to be able to do the same type of effort that we're trying to do here in Alaska. We developed a budget, put together scopes of work, did a targeted solicitation to contractors that we knew had done similar work in the in other states. We also did a broad solicitation just to make sure that we were casting a broader net, if you would, and then got five entities that responded to our scope, to our request for the scopes of work, and scored all of the responses and selected the NORC at the University of Chicago as our contractor for all four scopes. So I'd like to turn it over to NORC to provide an update on the work that they've that they're currently doing, and I guess that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Go ahead and continue.
Thanks, Sandra, and good morning. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Leitz. I'm a senior fellow at NORC at the University of Chicago. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to update the committee on the work that NORC has been conducting on behalf of the Alaska Healthcare Transformation Project. It's been a very interesting and exciting project to be working on. I serve as the project director for this work. I also know that I'm joined on the phone by my colleague, Lynn Snyder, who wasn't able to make the trip today to be here. I know her line is muted. A little bit later on in the presentation, I do have a couple of slides I'd like her to speak to, so I'll just, if it's all right, Mr. Chair, let you know when those times are. Okay. And I'm on slide 10, by the way, but moving or on slide 11, rather, but moving rapidly to slide 12. Very briefly, NORC at the University of Chicago, who we are, we're an independent, nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization that prides itself on delivering reliable data and rigorous analysis that hopefully guides in a science-based and grounded way critical programmatic business and public policy decisions. We've been around about 75 years. We're affiliated with the University of Chicago, although we are an independent entity from the university. Very briefly, on slide number 13, just of where our offices are. We have offices in Chicago and the DC area, and we do work on slide 14 in a variety of different areas, including health and well-being. We do work related to Medicaid, related to health exchanges, related to private sector health care, and we do work across a variety of different clients, including the federal government, state government, and private sector business clients. On slide 15, I wanted to mention that for this project, we've been working closely with colleagues at the University of Alaska Anchorage. While NORC brings a very rigorous approach to the work that we do, and we have experience working with states on health reform-related activities, we also recognize that having a team that also brings Alaska-specific knowledge was going to be very important to ensure that we collectively understood the context and history of the delivery system. In particular, we worked closely with a team from the Institute of Social and Economic Research, or ICER, at the University of Alaska Anchorage, and Ralph Townsend is here from ICER, is here today, and is also available to answer any questions you all might have. On slide 16, I also want to mention our other partner in this project, which is the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies at the University of Alaska Anchorage. They are an applied health research institute within the College of Health at UAA. On slide 17, I'm going to talk just very briefly about the project itself. Sandra's already introduced some of this, and as she mentioned, NORC was selected to provide the health transformation project with objective information to related to the four main themes, or what we called scopes of work. In a moment, I'll walk through those scopes for you and update the committee on our progress to date. The four scopes are to learn from what's already been done in Alaska via past experiences, that's scope one, to learn from extensive past studies that have been already done within the state, studies and reports that you all have conducted in the, over the course of the past decade, that's scope two. Scope three is really related to examining models and initiatives in other states to look for potential areas of application to Alaska. And then finally, and importantly, to add to the body of knowledge on the fourth scope, on understanding the drivers of healthcare spending and cost in Alaska. As Sandra noted, you are a relatively high-cost state, and so we're interested in helping you better understand what some of those drivers of healthcare costs are. And then finally, in doing our work, we've been guided in that work by the project management committee that Sandra described, working with them to make sure that our work is aligned with their vision and guiding principles. On slide 18, I'm just going to briefly describe what the four areas are of focus. The first one is what we're calling a meta-analysis. One thing that you all know, and we've noted in doing this work, is that you all and Sandra described the various history of things that have gone on. You're not starting from scratch here. You've done a lot of work, and there's a lot of information that you all have produced via various reports and reports to the legislature, reports from your healthcare commission, and other things. All of those reports are standalone reports, and they provide information. What a meta-analysis does is really look across all of those reports and uses research techniques to really tease out what are the main themes that each of these reports are finding, and how can we sort of elevate those themes and more finely look into those things. And we'll talk a little bit more in a few minutes about kind of some of our findings related to that meta-analysis. We really did focus that meta-analysis, though, on the five areas of focus that Sandra mentioned related to, well, I'll get to those in a moment. The second area of study is the Alaska Historic Project Scan, and Sandra described that as well. And that's really looking across the various experiments, as they've been dubbed by the PMC, that have occurred in Alaska, both regionally and statewide, to try to glean what information and knowledge we can from those past experiences around how you might be able to leverage those moving forward to build a more efficient and effective healthcare system. On slide 19, we're in the process of conducting a national scan, and while the work that you all are doing, each state has its own unique flavor, and if you've seen one state, you've seen one state, and certainly in Alaska, if you've seen one state, you've truly seen one state. But we're trying to think of across a variety of different states and see where there might be lessons that can be learned and applied to Alaska to help you think about your work moving forward. And then finally, the last thing that we're looking at are really the drivers of healthcare costs and spend in Alaska. And we'll be, under this scope of work, we'll be reviewing healthcare spending in the state and what data sources are going to be available that might help you support a more finely grained analysis moving forward of cost drivers relevant to some of the reforms that you might be looking at. We're going to do our best to prepare a set of estimates for you on potential reform-related savings, and importantly, try to bring forth for you a draft roadmap that you can look to think about what might be some very logical next steps that you can take within the state. And then finally, on this task, we'll also be preparing a number of materials that will be able to disseminate some of our findings more broadly across the state. On slide 20, I just want to take a moment to note the five areas. Sandra mentioned these in her presentation. These are five areas identified by the PMC as key areas of focus that can be levers in achieving a reform system. They include increasing the use of primary care utilization, coordinating patient care in a more systematic way, changing the way healthcare is paid for in Alaska to increase the incentives for delivering high quality, lower cost care, increasing capacity around data analytics so that you have the ability to better understand what's going on within the healthcare system and what some of the drivers of cost and quality are, and then finally addressing the social determinants of health, those things that we know sit outside the healthcare delivery system but are very important in terms of determining the health of an individual and really thinking about how do you get upstream and addressing some of those before they actually hit the delivery system itself. On slide 21, we just wanted to briefly let you know what our timeline for this work looks like. After being selected to assist with this work, had a kickoff meeting in November of 2018 that involved some in-person visits up here, an opportunity to meet with the PMC, learn more detailed information about what it is that they were exactly looking for, and then we went back and started our work, which culminated this past Thursday with a couple of reports that are submitted that we'll talk in more depth about in a few minutes, the meta-analysis report and the historical scan report. And then in March, we will have a draft of the national scan report and a draft of the cost report coming forward. Those, all go to the PMC. And then we'll, based on feedback on the national scan report from the PMC, finalize that national scan report by the end of the month. So by the end of March, we'll have a national scan draft for you. And then in moving into April, we will be reviewing our progress on the cost report, and then in May, finalizing that report, which will be, again, thinking about what are the drivers of healthcare spend and cost in Alaska, and what that roadmap might look like, with a final report and roadmap coming in June of 2019. So in terms of thinking about the deliverables, very briefly on slide number 22, we have both the Alaska Historical Project Scan and the Alaska Studies Meta-Analysis. Those both have been submitted to the PMC. That was last Thursday. Both of those were important first products to produce because a lot of the things that are going to come out of those really flow into some of the analysis that is ongoing related to the drivers of healthcare cost and spend, as well as helping to inform those elements that might be relevant in the national scan, relevant in particular to Alaska. So on slide 23, what I'd like to do next is to take you very briefly through the methodology that we've used to produce the study results in each of the four scopes of work. And then after we walk through the four scopes of work and the methodology that we've used, we'll pivot and I'll walk through the findings of the meta-analysis and historical scan, and I'll ask my colleague Lynn to join in on some of that discussion. As you saw from the previous timeline, the national scan and healthcare cost and spending reports are still being worked on, but I'll at least try to give you a flavor of what we're looking at there. So on slide number 24, under the meta-analysis, again, a meta-analysis is really looking at reports that have been produced in the state, whether in peer-reviewed journals or in what's called the gray literature. And what gray literature is basically things like if a foundation had a report related to the healthcare system in Alaska, or the legislature, or a state government agency produced a report. Those aren't peer-reviewed, but they're important pieces of information. And so what we did under this was to conduct a systematic review of those reports, extracted and compiled both qualitative and quantitative information across those reports, really scanned across all of those reports to develop a report that explores what commonalities we found in those reports, identify any gaps that you might have in understanding of related to the healthcare system, and to try to characterize themes that we saw in those reports so that you all know that, gosh, you know, we've been looking at stuff for 10 years, these are the things that keep recurring across the system and across the reports. People keep identifying these things. Maybe those are logical places for us to think about starting. On slide 25, just as I mentioned, a meta-analysis is reviewing across reports and bringing out main themes. We did submit a list of potential reports and studies to the PMC back in November. Based on their feedback, we developed a database of reports and studies that they would like us to examine. And then based on that, we went ahead and did that analysis and have been working on that over the course of the months of November and December into January and submitted our final report Thursday of last week. Very briefly, on the Alaska Historic Project Scan, our methodology on slide number 27. Again, the goal here is to refine a definition of health reform experiment and services and outcomes, and that helps to guide our scan of the reforms and experiments since 2008. What we then did is to gather and analyze qualitative data on selected experiments and to develop a report that identifies any regional patterns and gaps in experiments that exist across the various topics of interest within this project. In terms of process, on slide number 28, what we first did was identify a list of Alaska-based experiments, focused in the five topical areas of interest to the PMC, submitted a list of those experiments in November. Based on their feedback, culled down that list to approximately 11 different experiments that they wanted us to dig in more deeply, and then did a fairly exhaustive review of any peer-reviewed literature, any gray literature, including newspapers or anything that's really been written on those, to really find out what we could about the effectiveness of how well did those experiments work within the state. Based on that information, we submitted that final report on February 7th of 2019. Very briefly on the national scan, again, talking about the approach that we're taking here. On slide number 30, what we first did was develop a list of states that we knew were involved in relevant health reform models across the country that might be of interest to Alaska. We then worked with the PMC to identify some key target states that they were interested in having us dig deeper in, and what the process is right now is us gathering and analyzing data on relevant models in those selected states. We did place an emphasis, because we know that data analytics is important, an emphasis with states that had things such as all payer claims databases to be able to have information to bring forth around how those states established those databases. And then we'll be developing a report that systematically analyzes and compares the state health reform models, identifying what's known about those models, as well as any conclusions that we can bring forth around what might be relevant to the state of Alaska. Again, the draft report will be due to the PMC on March 1st, and our final report at the end of March. On slide 31, to give you a flavor of what we'll include in these seven case studies that we're conducting, we'll include things such as what are the state characteristics of the state we're looking at, what was some of the impetus and history for the health reform within that state? How did they go about implementing the health reform that we've been asked to look at? What are the details and the nitty-gritty mechanics of what's going on there, so you have a kind of detailed understanding of what they're doing? How did they do things like incorporate social determinants of health into their health reforms to the extent that they did? How have they incorporated health information technology, data analytics, things like all payer claims databases into that? And then what were the results of the reforms? What were the lessons that they learned from them? And any evaluation results that we might have? And then finally, we're trying to tease out what considerations are for you all in Alaska looking at a given state, how that might be relevant to you. Slide 32 has a map on it of the states that we're looking at. We've been asked to look at the following states, which are Arkansas, Colorado, Maryland, New Mexico, North Carolina, Oregon, and Washington State. And then within each of these states on slide number 33 is really the specific reform that we're looking at. And I won't go into the details of each of these, but suffice to say we've been asked to really think about and look across these seven states, tease out the interesting reforms that are going into the states, and then really think about with our gained knowledge and collective knowledge of what the Alaska health system looks like, how might the reforms in those states be relevant to your state, and what steps might be worthwhile taking a look at that exist within those states. And then finally, on slide 34 is the spend and cost of healthcare. That's the fourth and final scope of work we'll be looking at. On slide 35, the methodology that we'll be really using there is really two work streams that we're going to be looking at. The first is to review data that's available on spending and cost within the state of Alaska, and to prepare a review of that information. And that's going to include identifying gaps that you all have. No state has perfect information on its healthcare spending and its healthcare cost. Alaska's no exception there. What we're going to try to do is to bring forth something that would allow you to see where the gaps are, as well as how you might potentially fill those gaps with additional sources of information. There's existing databases that you might be able to draw in addition to what you already are, and so we want to be able to bring some of that information for your consideration. And then secondly, to summarize what knowledge we know on the potential sources of cost savings, including integrating findings from project tasks that are existing elsewhere to understand what might constrain implementation of reform in Alaska, but then also think about if you did make certain changes to your healthcare system, how those might impact on healthcare spending within the state. We'll be out of that work developing a report that presents a draft roadmap for possible pathways to reform in Alaska, including recommendations for both short-term things that could be done as well as longer-term steps. We'll be doing that in a bit of an iterative process with the PMC. We want to be able to bring them some draft information, get feedback on that, and go back and continue to fine-tune based on that feedback that's coming, with a final report due in the spring, latter spring, May, June of this year. And I'm going to go ahead and skip slide 36, and I think they'll go to slide 37. I'm just going to reiterate the fact that one of the things that we are really excited to be working on this project is that producing reports is interesting and can be informative, but the real rubber hitting the road is when you're able to take that information and think about how that then can be transformed into potential steps that can be taken. And that's really what the roadmap is intended to be. And as I mentioned, we're going to be coordinating that roadmap work based on the four scopes of work and the information that we're finding in an iterative process with the PMC that will involve some in-person visits, some virtual working visits, and at the end of the process, hopefully something that will have some concrete ability to move forward on. Mr. Chair, that's an overview of kind of the work that we'll be doing under the broad scope. What I'd now like to do is to turn more specifically and talk about the two reports that we did submit to the PMC last Thursday that have specific findings based on the first two scopes of work, the Alaska Studies meta-analysis and the Alaska Historical Project scan. And Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if at this point it would be possible to unmute Dr. Snyder's line back, and so she may be able to weigh in on some of these.
Ms. Snyder, are you online?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, do you want to take over? We don't have a projection, but we're on slide number 39.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Lynn Snyder. I'm a principal research scientist at NORC at the University of Chicago, based in our Bethesda office. Much of the portfolio of work that I have concerns health reform at the federal and at state level, and I also work in the area of social determinants of health and reforms to the civil legal justice system. We're so pleased to be able to share our early findings with you today. Very excited to be participating in these conversations. So let me start with slide 39, talking a bit about the meta-analysis. Scott already provided a pretty solid introduction. I just want to mention that our meta-analysis began with a rather long list of studies and reports that have been published in the past decade dealing with health reform in Alaska, with nearly 300 reports identified for the social determinants of health section alone, one of the five topics. And to actually do the analysis for the meta-analysis report, our team broke into three groups. ICER developed the analysis for the payment reform and data analytics topics. The Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies developed the analysis about the social determinants of health, and NORC tackled the analysis of primary care utilization and coordinated care. We merged primary care and coordinated care into one discussion, as many of the studies do much the same, consider both at the same time. Our three teams each tailored our approach to data collection and analysis to reflect the different ways in which studies and reports are presented for each topic. All three teams analyzed peer-reviewed and gray literature and prepared narratives to explain what we know about each of the five topics. So let me get on to some of the findings that we have. One more note just about the format of the report. We took two approaches to interpreting our findings. For the topics of primary care, coordinated care, and the social determinants of health, there is a table or matrix that synthesizes key findings by theme, for example, by region, by population, or specific social determinant like addiction. In addition to that, there are synthesis of findings and draft considerations for data analytics and for payment reform, as much of the work reviewed in these two topics was statewide in scope and related either to public or commercial payers. In addition to the report, we have submitted a freestanding appendix of meta-analysis findings as a table that notes objectives for each report, study design, population served and payer, data sources, conclusions, and where available, information about funding. We provided this appendix in Excel as well as Word to allow for readers to do their own sorting and analysis of the evidence that we've characterized to date. So let me move to slide 40 and talk a bit of just some very high-level findings that we can certainly get into later or in subsequent conversations. For primary care and coordinated care, what we know that is based on program evaluation or peer-reviewed publication is very limited. We know much more about Alaska's needs than we do about what works in health reform. Much of reform since 2008 is still yet to be evaluated, and Sandra spoke to that when she noted, for example, all the reforms and pilots under SB 74 that are underway. The 39 reports that we looked at for primary care and coordinated care included 16 peer-reviewed journal articles, with the rest being gray literature that Scott described earlier. Promising approaches in primary care and coordinated care are likely well known to this audience. They include the NUCA system of care and similar patient-centered medical home models, screening to improve prevention of chronic disease, telehealth delivery of services that extend the reach of primary and specialty care and support providers in the field, for example, through the ECHO model of specialty co-management, integration of behavioral health that is proceeding with the recent Section 1115 waiver, the diversion of patients from emergency department visits and into primary care through Medicaid's coordinated care initiative, and sharing of electronic health record information across emergency departments, and finally, improved maternal and child health through the Strong Start for Mothers initiative. The studies and reports that we reviewed include reforms in both tribal and non-tribal delivery systems. Reform within the Department of Defense and Veterans Administration delivery systems were not within the scope of our study to date. For data analytics, our focus is on healthcare cost data rather than on data regarding access to care or quality of care, and that's an important consideration. The report discusses considerations for working with cost data, for conducting regional analyses of cost, and for exploring the feasibility of an all-payer claims database, or APCD, to enable analysis of utilization and costs drawing on claims from multiple payers. In addition, the report describes key data sources being used to analyze healthcare costs right now. These include the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services Medicare Research Files, the Center's National Health Expenditure Accounts that allow for comparisons across states, three national commercial insurance claims databases, and Alaska state data sets that enable analysis of costs as well as of provider behavior and decisions. For payment reform, we include a review of major reform initiatives of the past decade, summarized so fully by Sandra earlier on in this presentation. And in addition, focus some discussion on recent developments related to pricing transparency, regulation of pharmacy benefit managers, and of insurance reimbursement. An overall trend is seen of reduced spending to date, accomplished in part through cost shifting from state to federal government, with a key example being the reinsurance of a health insurance marketplace under the Section 1332 waiver. There is some movement seen from fee-for-service toward value-based purchasing, with much interest in the upcoming UnitedHealth demonstration of Medicaid managed care health plans in Anchorage. We note, as many have noted, the fragmentation of delivery systems in the state, the small number of commercial payers, the low volume outside of Anchorage in southeastern Alaska, and the resultant difficulty of aligning payers as considerable challenges to reform. In addition to the pilots underway under SB 74, we see some promising models supported by federal one-time grants, including bundled payment for episodes of care, and there are multiple initiatives underway in that regard, and the Federally Qualified Health Center Advanced Primary Care Model that is being evaluated nationally. Finally, our fifth topic, social determinants of health, was basically comprised a focus on needs assessment and considering how to organize our thinking about non-medical influences on health and well-being. Our work aligned findings to goals for health set out by the Healthy Alaskan 2020 initiative, given its broad-based, consensus-oriented process. Our team tailored an approach to understanding studies about Alaska based on prior work done by the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies to call out influences that are especially meaningful for Alaska residents. This revisioning of social determinants arrayed factors on a scale, beginning with factors at the individual level that affect health, such as age or ethnic identity, and those related to individual behavior, such as addiction and science, diet, exercise, and nutrition, and then considers factors related to social relationships, specifically concerning Alaska's high rates of suicide and trauma, and how these each affect the need for health services. More broadly speaking, our scale identifies a number of factors at the neighborhood, community, region, and state level as having impacts on health, somewhat unique to Alaska, including access to clean water, access to communication through broadband and fiber optics, and challenges that are shared with other states, including access to quality health care, addressing workforce shortages also seen in other states with large rural populations. Finally, at the most general level, federal and national economic developments, revenue for Alaska programs that come from the federal government, and related policy and programs have important influences on the health of Alaskans. Our report identified a number of needs to be addressed by health reform, likely all very familiar to this audience, related to addiction, to trauma and suicide, to food and water security, and homelessness. Among the small number of reforms identified for which evaluations had been performed, the Housing First demonstration, for example, offered promising findings of improved outcomes. So that is the sort of the top-level view of the meta-analysis and some of the things that we found. Let us move to the next slide, slide 41, where I will give an overview of the historical project. For the history project, we began by submitting a list of 29 reforms that our team had identified as taking place in the past decade, considering all the SB 74 experiments and pilot programs as one reform. The PMC advised to focus on 11 of these 29 for starters. The team read whatever it could find about the 11 reforms, scanning peer-reviewed and gray literature sources. As a part of our scan, we identified a larger supplemental group of reforms, almost 100 in each of the five topic areas. This larger group was added into the mix to fill in gaps in our understanding of the meaning of reform for each topic. In addition, we have conducted a small number of key informant interviews for background at the direction of the PMC to begin learning about the Alaska context for health reform. Finally, we reviewed sources on the history of healthcare in the state to understand the time period before 2008. So our report considers a set of 11 reforms in multiple ways. We consider them in the context of trends in elastive health since the era of hospital and clinic building and population growth that began during World War II. Reforms to address workforce shortages, to bridge Alaska's long distances, and to exert self-determination and autonomy are enduring themes in the state's health history. These themes inform our understanding of Alaska's complex payer environment and multiple delivery systems. As noted earlier, our assessment considered the 11 reforms identified by the PMC as part of a broader set of reform activities. Given the limited evidence available for any one reform, analysis of a group allowed us to make preliminary observations about trends. In addition, our report includes a short profile for each of the 11 reforms in an appendix, highlighting what we could learn about experiment goals, current status, results, and lessons learned. Turning to specific trends that we identified. First, the regional distribution of reforms. Four of the 11 reforms are statewide in scope, three related to the Medicaid program, and one related to capacity building for providers. Another four reforms are located in and near the population center of Anchorage and Matsu Borough, including South Central Foundation's NUCA system of care, and three demonstrations funded by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. In addition, there are two reforms based in southeastern Alaska. None of the highlighted reforms are located in the northern or interior regions of the state. In terms of leadership, most reforms are led either by tribal health organizations or by providers under agreement with state agencies. Entities funding reform, mostly federal. Nearly half of five of the 11 reforms that we studied were funded by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. In terms of topics of reform, nine of the 11 concern primary care and coordinated care. Payment reform and data analytics are each represented by one reform initiative. Turning to population served by reform, these reforms targeted Medicaid enrollees, beneficiaries of the Medicare program, and Native Alaska residents served through tribal health organizations, and some groups defined geographically, for example, those served by specific clinics. In terms of outcomes, which for many is probably the most important domain to consider, we lack validation for much of what is documented about reform. Our team identified program evaluations or peer-reviewed publications specific to Alaska for six of the 11 initiatives. South Central Foundation's NUCA system of care offers the most evidence to date of effectiveness. Evidence about other reforms is limited but promising. Positive findings are seen for the complex behavior initiative and the coordinated care initiative's emergency room diversion program. The Kodiak-era Native Association's use of electronic clinical reminders was associated with improved screening rates for preventive care, and Peace Health Ketchikan's care coordination pilot with improved care processes for diabetes. National evaluation findings include data for Alaska sites for three reforms, including advanced primary care practice demonstrations for health clinics, bundled payments for care improvement, and the Strong Start program for mothers and newborns. But generalizability from national findings to local sites is unclear. Finally, in terms of gaps in identified reforms, as you all know, many reforms have been launched, and the pace of reform has stepped up with SB 74. But there are many regions, populations, and outcomes not included in the list of 11 reforms, or even in a broader list of 104 that we looked at. In addition to regional gaps and gaps in delivery systems not considered, there are gaps in topics. We did not identify reforms related to dental or vision care, access to durable medical equipment, or much related to long-term services and supports. In addition, reforms are limited in terms of the payment models tested to date and delivery system changes outside of primary care. Across both the meta-analysis and history reports, there are similar considerations for further work related to policy and programmatic reforms, delivery system change. In terms of short-term and long-term policy changes, we have some recommendations for the next two reports to pick up. First is to really leverage or build on the historical experience of Alaska public officials and stakeholders with multi-sector planning coalitions that bring all parties to the table. And obviously the one that is sponsoring our work is an example of that. But two other examples that we mentioned are the Healthy Alaskans 2020 Initiative and the health systems planning work that began in the 1970s, which appear to have been highly regarded by those who participated in that and formative in their experience as public officials. A second is to continue to tap the comprehensive set of recommendations around primary care developed by the Health Care Commission and use it as a launching point. It's important to acknowledge that the patient-centered medical home model as a delivery system approach may be tied to different payment reforms and may not necessarily yield substantive cost savings, although there may be improved access to care and quality of care. A third consideration is the importance of continued investment in communication and transportation strategies that bridge Alaska's distances and invest in the state's own ability to deliver health care for its residents, both for primary and for specialty care. In terms of programmatic changes, one consideration is to identify and adopt nationally validated performance measures that are meaningful to health reform in the state and support their addition to current state data systems. A second is to consider what measures of access and quality of care are most important for reform, to expand reform considerations beyond that of cost, to always consider costs, but also think, what do we mean by access? And we have one measure in primary care, but think about specialty care as well, and how we're going to measure and have accountability for quality of care. Finally, in terms of system redesign changes, the importance of acknowledging and working to take advantage of defining characteristics of health care delivery in the state, which include a deep orientation towards fee-for-service reimbursement, and a lot can be done within a fee-for-service framework, and also to respect the powerful dynamic in the state between federal and state-level organization or oversight and a pull towards local autonomy that was pointed out by more than one of our key informants in interviews. In addition, it's important to continue to realign Medicaid purchasing with federal reform opportunities through waiver programs, and finally, to support greater coordination across health services delivery and social services to address contributions of social determinants of health to adverse health outcomes. We're happy to field questions and get back to you with more information if we can't answer a question at this moment. And I wanted to thank Mr. Chairman and my colleagues for letting me share some of the findings from our reports to date.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that concludes this portion of the presentation from the NORC side. I'll maybe turn it back to Sandra at this point.
Great. Thank you. So again, for the record, Sandra Heffern, Effective Health Design. So as you've heard, the NORC has submitted two reports to the Project Management Committee. Those reports were submitted last Thursday, so the Project Management Committee has not had an opportunity yet to thoroughly vet those reports. They will be made available on the web on our website, and I will skip to the last slide, which has our website listed. As soon as we go through those reports, they will be posted onto the website. As you heard, NORC will then be completing the two other reports, looking at the national scan, and also and bringing forward some recommendations about the structure that has worked in some other states. We'll also be looking at the cost drivers and the spending of healthcare in Alaska. The NORC team will work with us to develop a high-level roadmap, and that, as we talked about, will be due the end of June. Between June and the end of the calendar year, the Project Management Committee and that larger group that I talked about before will be working on an implementation plan that will include policy recommendations that will bring forward to state administration, to the legislature, and also to our federal congressional delegation, because I think some of the reforms that will come out of this project could take some, we might need some federal help for some implementation. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present the project, and an hour and 10 minutes. We walked through a year and a half of work. Anytime that you have this type of a cross-sector collaboration, the process takes an awful lot of time, and we still have more work that needs to be done, but sometimes when I listen to committee hearings, I hear frustration from different members that, you know, why aren't we doing something? Why aren't we being proactive in addressing the healthcare issues? And I want to let you know and assure you that we are being proactive. We are trying to address the cost of healthcare in Alaska while still looking at the quality of the healthcare and the access for our citizens. So, again, thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'd like the record to reflect that Senator Hoffman's been with us along with Senator Begich, and Senator Wilkowski showed up. We have a question from Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In Alaska, we have communities spread all across the state, some 200 of them, but many of them, their access to health care is what many call a clinic. But I guess my question is, have you looked at the adequacies of health care facilities spread out through rural Alaska? Particularly, we have, I know, the responsibility for many of these is with the Native Health Corporations, but access to health care is critical to the availability of services and facilities that exist in rural areas of the state, and I wonder why that whole aspect has not been addressed by you, and I wonder if you might comment upon whether or not that is an important factor.
You could help Senator Hoffman with that question.
Absolutely. Thank you, through the chair. Senator Hoffman, I completely agree with you that access to health care throughout the state of Alaska is an issue. Looking at the capacity of what's available in individual communities has been beyond the scope of what this project is looking at, and that may be something that we look at in the next phase. Right now, we're really trying to look at the overall healthcare system, where our gaps are, what the cost drivers are, and then look at some of the policy decisions that we need to make. It could be that one of the policy decisions is that if we truly want to embrace that access to healthcare in smaller communities is a value that we want to take forward, the policy decision will have to be couched in what the cost of that is.
Follow up, Senator Hoffman?
Yes, and I think that that is a critical factor to people that are living in remote areas of the state of Alaska. Without that access, you know, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to try to improve health care. Access is everything if you want adequate health care in the state of Alaska, and by not including it, I think, is a very vast hole that exists in this review.
We'll go to Senator Bonimoff, then Michiki, then Giesel.
Thank you. One of the issues that Senator Hoffman is highlighting is access, but what we have is a multi-effect that kind of comes together in terms of a very large state, not connected much by roads, a very small population. And to take it kind of on a bigger scale, one would say, okay, you have the smaller communities in Senator Hoffman's area. I think you have 55 in around Bethel. But even think about Anchorage. Well, that's the largest city in Alaska. What are we lacking? A burn unit. We have a small burn unit, but if you have third-degree burns over 50% of your body, generally you go down to Seattle. So what's the access even in just in Anchorage alone for certain things? Brain tumors that are really deep in your head, you don't have them here in Alaska. So it is a constant juggle, whether you start in Anchorage and trickle down to the different communities, and that is, there are some things that we probably, due to our population and our size, may never be able to solve really in our state. And it's something that I think we need to talk about and decide what we're willing to accept or not.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For whomever's best to answer this question, I'm assuming the state, seven states that are highlighted on page 32 was not the result of a random draw. Can you explain why those seven states were selected? And if there is a best case, I guess it's a two-part question, why those seven states were selected, and can you point to a state that has really sort of done it right at this point, or is everyone in a different stages of improvement?
So through the chair, Senator Machicki, you're absolutely correct. It was not random that we selected those states. Washington, Oregon, and Colorado were specifically selected because of previous work that we had done in studying the reforms that they've done. Oregon has a coordinated care organization structured that is, in essence, bundled payments to each of the coordinated care organizations. Colorado has a regional collaborative care organization structure, very similar but done on a regional basis. One of the differences is that Colorado does not do a shared savings and shared risk, which Oregon does. Washington we looked at or are wanting to look at more because they have a very structured managed care type system. And they also recently are looking at accountable communities of health. We also wanted to look at states that Arkansas, for example, was one of the first states to restructure the health insurance exchange. New Mexico, we're looking at specifically because they have a large indigenous population. Maryland, because of the payment structure that they have done with their hospitals, and that's what I can remember off the top of my head.
Okay. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The comment was made that there's frustration about not doing anything, and I would agree with that, but it's not for lack of effort. Every dollar in the healthcare industry has formidable opponents to change, as they make a huge amount of money off the system as it is. But referring to slide 30, you referred to an all-payers claims database. You wanted to look at states that had those databases. So which states are those? So I have a series of questions about those. Which states are them? What did it cost to develop them? How long did it take for them to put together that database? And how useful have those databases proved to be?
If you can help Senator Giesel with that.
Sure, thank you, Senator Giesel. I appreciate the question, and I guess my comment is stay tuned, because within the spend and cost report that you will see in May, we'll have that type of information for you, because we've asked NORC to look specifically at states that do have all payer claims databases, and that was a recommendation from the Healthcare Commission many years ago. We've talked about it, but you know, it's like, let's really get into the details of how useful is it, how much is it going to cost, who's going to maintain it. You know, those are just some of the practical questions that are out there. Again, and if I could, I agree that every dollar in healthcare has a constituent of some sort behind it. That's why we've really tried to bring all of the different players, if you would, that could be impacted by health reform into the discussion. You know, so when we invited payers of healthcare, we had, you know, the big payers. We had Premera, Aetna, Moda, Medicaid, Medicare. We also had the health, the trust that the union trust, sorry, that are managing healthcare dollars. Those people were brought into the discussion, along with providers, along with patient advocates, and then the policymakers. We had representatives, senators, individuals from both the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Administration, where another large pot of healthcare dollars are expended by the state. You know, so getting, again, trying to get all of those different perspectives in the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Bishop and Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, my question comes from page 7, way back in early in the presentation, and it's just, I'm hoping that the study, after it's done, is going to be able to tell me 68% of Alaskans are insured. I thought I heard you say that. Did you say that?
No, for correction, 68% of Alaskans identify that they have a usual source of primary care.
So does that mean that 30% of the people aren't covered?
There's a difference in identifying, excuse me, through the chair, Senator Bishop, there's a difference in identifying a usual source of primary care and having health insurance or having health coverage. I would misstate if I said what the percentage is of Alaskans without health coverage. I believe it's 14% that do not have health insurance coverage.
Thank you.
Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for doing the work. First of all, thank you for doing the metadata, because I think there has been a lot of work put into Alaska in a variety of different ways. One suggestion, maybe it comes out in the way of a question. I was meeting with some folks at the University Fairbanks just before we came to the session, and on the social determinants, there was some people that were actually doing some studies on the social impacts and trying to get information in that was outside of what the Circumpolar Group was doing. So I'll try to get that information, but they've done some significant research, and it goes everything from food security to job applications to the economic part of it, as well as the social behavior part of it, and some of the modification communications. So I was pretty excited about it. It's something that I wasn't aware that they were doing. I hope you all are.
Any other questions from committee members? Any comments from the chairman of the HES committee?
I think, Chair Simon, you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully the final report to the map 19 coming out. We've heard the plethora of stories and sort of tragedies of report upon report that sits on a shelf without action. So I'm just hopeful that we will have action. But can you briefly go through sort of the items that ICER and Circumpolar Health are doing, sort of the subcontract work? I know you briefly touched upon them, but just a little bit more focus upon their role. Is it just for the meta-analysis in the Alaska study, or are they going to have parts throughout the entire piece of this?
Mr. Chair, Senator, they've certainly been involved, as you identified, in the meta-analysis and also in the work related to the historic scan. We'll also be working with them on the cost and spend portion of the report. So they will be working closely with them around some of the identification of data sets, for example, that might be more broadly available for the state to look at. As well as working with them on some of the analysis related to the impacts that certain reforms might have on overall costs. And we're continuing to sort of refine that work plan as that timeline for that report is a little bit further out, but that would be the other area they would be working with us on.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That concludes our hearing today. Thank you for coming to Senate Finance, and I'm sure we'll be having you back to lay the report on the table in detail, and if we're not in session, we'll be in session next winter or maybe in summer, for all I know. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're going to have a hearing on homeless and housing issues in Alaska. So 9 a.m., bright and early, we'll see everybody's smiley face. We are adjourned.